Paul and Margo, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The Cincinnati Preservation Association is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year with the most appropriate project possible, I think. And I'm looking forward to talking with you about that. But before we do, would you tell us briefly what the association does, Paul?
Yeah, we are a not-for-profit advocacy group for the historic resources in the area. And we're founded in 1964 by some really visionary citizens who saw the great historic buildings we had and wanted to make sure they were cared for.
Some of us remember that it began as the Miami Purchase Association.
The name change happened in the mid-90s to reflect a broader engagement with the city. Also, a lot of people didn't know what Miami Purchase was.
Well, the association has any number of significant accomplishments to its credit. And this new project, recognizing its 50 years, seems to me a perfect way to underline the reasons that it exists. Margo, can you tell us about the request to the public to help select the historic buildings and sites that define Cincinnati?
Yes, we decided to do a 50 for 50 photo contest to try to find the buildings that best represent the city. And people have really embraced this contest and run with it. And people are nominating all kinds of buildings. And they're not all buildings either. Also boats, including the Delta Queen. And they're not only buildings that are still standing, there are even a few that have been demolished.
How can people make their suggestions?
They can go to the website and send us a good quality photo and a write-up that tells us important facts about the building or whatever it is. And then it will be approved by us, and then it'll go up on the website, and people can start voting for it. Now, you can vote for as many as you want, but you can only vote once for each one.
Well, Paul, this project was announced in January. When will the results be reported, and what can you tell us about the exhibition next fall that will come out of all of this?
The voting will continue until the end of April. So if any of the buildings you like are in 51 or 52 or 53, you should go on and vote. And there's another dimension to this, which are the comments. We love seeing the comments that people are making about this, and they're actually doing our work for us. The public is so good at telling why they're so passionate about a particular building or a site or a landscape. We're going to incorporate the results of this into an exhibition called 50 Years of Cincinnati Preservation that'll open at the Museum Center. We're really honored that they will host that exhibit. We're going to be celebrating more than just this particular project. We'll have a timeline on the history of preservation saves in Cincinnati, on things that we're doing now to work with neighborhoods. And preservation's really sort of moved to an area where we're looking at authenticity and economic revitalization of entire neighborhoods with their history.
Well, I've looked at your website where the pictures of the proposed buildings are posted, and many of those buildings are shoo-ins, like Music Hall and Union Terminal and City Hall. I mean, we all know they would be there. But others are more surprising. The Farmers Hotel in Northside is new to me. And a building that I know very well because it's my neighborhood is the Paramount building at People's Corner, which is really scruffy now, but is an important building. So I was pleased to see that that was there. What surprises are in the list for you, Margo?
Oh, we were delighted at some of the buildings that were picked because some of them are not in Cincinnati, for example. Somebody was nominated the Sorg Opera House in Middletown, which is a magnificent building that was designed by Samuel Hannaford. And after years of vacancy and uncertainty, it is going to be renovated using historic tax credits.
So is it the Hannaford link that makes it a competitor in this?
That's part of it because Hannaford is a rock star architect in Greater
Cincinnati.
Yeah. But also people in Middletown are very proud of it. It's a local landmark.
You're really reflecting the area rather than just the city.
Yes, there were some properties that have been listed in Northern Kentucky as well. And that's just great.
Paul, you're an architect. Are there any particular surprises for you?
I was really delighted and surprised to see Madame Trollope's Bazaar. For a while, it was in number two. So we had a boat that isn't here and a building that was torn down in 1870 as our top two. But Madame Trollope's Bazaar is very interesting and does speak to a particular period in time in Cincinnati. We're hoping this is an educational tool that people will go to it and discover a little about some buildings they didn't know. But overall, this collection of buildings makes this wonderful mosaic. At CPA, we look at it and we think, this is why we're here, to help people learn about and care for this great mosaic. And Farmers Hotel was an interesting one to be on there. We've been involved in helping get that to become a city landmark, and some stabilization is going on for that building now with support of people from Northside. It was where the farmers would stay when they drove their livestock.
So what is it used for now?
It's been vacant for a number of years and sank into deterioration, and it almost was demolished last year until a local preservationist in Northside became aware of us and decided to nominate it as a city landmark so it could be saved.
Where is it? Is it on Hamilton Avenue?
It's 4000 Coleraine Avenue across from Wesleyan Cemetery, which is another historic landmark.
You know, you said a lot of them were expected on the list. We have 12 National Historic Landmarks, and out of our top 10 buildings, I think 8 of them moved up to that area. And we're happy about that. But we're also happy about the building that's going to be number 50, number 48, number 49, because we want that broad reach. You know, what do people really love about the architecture of this community?
So are there any buildings that haven't been nominated that you're hoping will be?
Every time one pops up, I think, why didn't I think of that? But the Gwynn building wasn't put in, and I nominated that, and it's below the line right now, but it's by Ernest Flagg. It was Procter & Gamble's headquarters for a while. I would have thought it would be up there.
Another Preservation Association event coming up before long is your spring house tour. When does that happen?
That is coming up next month on Saturday, May 10th. It's kind of a tradition to have it the day before Mother's Day.
What will it involve this year?
We're zeroing in on 3 magnificent houses of very different periods and different styles along Lafayette Avenue. So we're calling it the Mansions of Lafayette Avenue House Tour.
And which particular mansions are they?
Ones that probably will be familiar to many people, the Scarlet Oaks Mansion, which is the centerpiece of the retirement community, Oakwood, the Henry Probasco Mansion, which is just about a block away, and another house of a different period, Stonehenge, which is probably the earliest arts and crafts influence building in the city, built in 1886, way ahead of its time.
Well, thanks so much, both of you, for coming in to talk with us about all these interesting projects that go on in the Cincinnati Preservation Association, and we'll be fascinated to see which 50 buildings come up on the list.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Paul Muller, Executive Director of the Cincinnati Preservation Association, and Margot Warminski, the association's Preservation Director. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Round Cincinnati, this is Jane Durrell. Thank you.